Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your word to us tonight. I pray, Father, that you just speak through me. I ask you, Lord, that you would help me, Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that I'd say what you'd have me to. And Lord, I pray that the word of the Lord would fall on good ground tonight, Lord, hearing ears. And Lord, that we would receive, Lord, exactly what you have for us. I pray, Father, that faith rise in our hearts. Lord, that as we trust you, as we live for you, as we serve you, Lord, we'll do so in great faith, believing, Lord, for mighty things in our day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, tonight I'm going to talk to you about small. Aw. I can tell y'all are excited about that. But we're going to learn something. Everything all right? We're all good. All right. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 10. The Lord asked this question. Who has despised the day of small things? Who has despised the day of small things? The Living Bible, it says small beginnings. Now, this is talking about when the Jews had come back from being captives in Babylonia. They were taken captives and they had been released. Now they've gone back to Jerusalem and there's just a handful there that are going to try to rebuild the temple. And they're in the process of just laying the foundation. And they've been working and working and working. And it seems so futile. It seems like not anything is really happening. It seems like they're not getting anywhere. They're figuring at the rate they're going, they're never, ever going to finish. And so they began to be discouraged and despondent and just quit working. And so the word of the Lord, isn't it amazing how God has a word for you at just the right time? So often, you know, whether it's in your personal devotional time or you hear a message preached on the radio or maybe even at church, or maybe it's a brother in the Lord that just has a word for you. But God sends a word somehow at just the right time. And so this is the word that the Lord had for the people. Who has despised the day of small things? And what he's saying is don't despise the small things. Don't despise what you think is little right now. But instead, you need to be trusting God, believe in God, that even though things may look like it's unimportant, insignificant, doesn't amount to much, that God is at work. See, God tells these people, what he's saying to them is that what's caused them to weep, their little bit of success that they've had, their little bit of progress they've made, has made God rejoice. And so he tells them, don't despise the day of small things. You know, we might look at the things that we do for God sometimes and feel like that it's just a little thing, that it doesn't really matter, that we're not really doing much. We might look at the things that we do as insignificant or unimportant. We might consider ourselves even to be small. But I want you to remember this. God doesn't want you to despise the small things or the day of small things. Listen, Satan uses this as a great deception that what you do isn't really important. What you are, what you accomplish isn't really important. That is such a powerful deception of Satan to try to paralyze people. Because if he can keep you, if he can cause you to feel like what you do is unimportant and get you discouraged, he can paralyze you and keep you from fulfilling the purpose of God in your life. You need to realize this. If he can convince you that you don't matter, you won't matter. Because you'll give up. You'll get discouraged. You'll quit. And I'm just telling you that the enemy knows that when you do your part, when you do what you're supposed to do, then God takes care of the rest. So God says, don't despise the day of small things. It's the day of small things. And, you know, I think it's okay to preach that as don't despise the small things, but the way it's actually worded is it says, don't despise the day of small things. And you know what that says to me is that it's a time period. It's a day. It's temporary. The small things are temporary. Listen, they didn't stay at their current level of progress. They got it done. And I want you to understand that your day of small things is a day. Don't despise that time period. Don't despise that temporary situation because God is able to work through it. You know, if you were going to go on a long trip, say a great vacation, let's just, you just pick a place and say, my destination is Paris, France. Where would you begin from? Well, New York, because you got to fly, or no, DFW Airport. No, I'm going to tell you where you begin from. It depends on where you are. You're going to begin from where you are. That's how you're going to get to that destination. Let me tell you how you fulfill the purpose of God in your life. You begin from right where you are. You might think, well, this ain't a very good place to begin. Listen, you can't begin from anywhere else. You got to begin from right where you are. And if you despise the day of small beginnings, if you despise right where you are, and you listen, you got to get past that and see that God is well able to take you from where you are to where you need to be. If you're going to do great things for God, you got to begin right where you are. If you want to give huge amounts of money to spread the gospel, you got to begin right where you are. If you're going to preach to thousands, well, you got to start from where you are. Now, I didn't say that you're supposed to start preaching tomorrow, but I'm telling you that that road begins right where you are. Maybe God wants you to just spend 3 years studying and praying and reading the Word, but I'm telling you, you got to begin from where you are. He might want you to go preach in some nursing homes. Some of you may not know that, but I started off when I was a youth pastor. I also went to 2 nursing homes and preached on a regular basis. Sometimes you just need to start right where you are. The problem is that most of us look at where we are and we feel like we're insignificant and unimportant. That's exactly the way the Israelites felt. They had been working hard, but it seemed like it didn't make any difference. You ever feel that way? Working hard, feels like it doesn't make any difference. Don't leave God out of the equation. We got to remember that little becomes much when we put it in His hands. Sometimes we want to say, Lord, don't you see? Don't you see, Lord? Guess what? He sure does. He sees. And He says that when we are faithful in little, then we'll be trusted with much. Faithful in little, you're trusted with much. So don't despise the day of small things. As long as we're doing God's work, God's with us, I'm telling you, God will be pleased. Now here's a question you got to answer for yourself, and just, well, I guess between you and God. But are you doing God's will right now in your life? And I got a quick, easy word for you. If you're not, start doing God's will in your life right now. It's pretty simple. If you're not doing God's will, start doing God's will. Start doing what God wants you to do. Now, if you are doing what God wants you to do, you're in a real good spot. Just keep it going. Don't despise it. You see, if the enemy can get you to despise it, he'll get you discouraged and get you to quit. get you to back down. If he can make you feel insignificant, if he can make you feel like your efforts don't matter. Oh, but we need to remember that when God's in it, then great things can happen. Even if we never see the great results from our work directly, I'm telling you, God can cause it to be multiplied into so much more. Who has a greater reward? Mordecai Ham or Billy Graham? I know what most of you are thinking right now. Who's Mordecai Ham? Anybody know who Mordecai Ham is? Well, 3, 4, 5? Wow, I'm impressed. I didn't know. Mordecai, some of you just guessing, aren't you? Tell the truth now. You just guess. You figured it out, right? Mordecai Ham is the man who was preaching in a meeting when Billy Graham got saved. Who has the greater reward? Oh, but Billy Graham won all those thousands and thousands of people. We all know his name. Who ever heard of Mordecai Ham? But I'm telling you, if it wasn't for Mordecai Ham, there might not have been a Billy Graham who preached to all those thousands of people. And we despise the small beginnings, the small things, the small names. Who knows, but that maybe somebody that you know, maybe a child in a classroom. And I know, listen, as I said, week or so ago on a Sunday, you know, we've all heard all our lives, you know, the Lord's coming any day. All those kids back there, they're never going to get to grow up. You don't really know that. You don't. And who knows, but that one of those little kids back there is going to be a great preacher that brings a revival that sweeps this land. Or who knows that one of those little kids back there is going to be the first Spirit-filled president. And you might have taught them one day, and one day say, I used to be their teacher. But right now, you despise that little one. Oh, don't despise the little things, the day of small things, right? Matthew 13:31-33, and another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds, but when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. Another parable he said to them, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till it was leavened. Just a little bit of leaven works through the whole loaf. Now, Jesus is telling us that the kingdom works like this. Just one little bit. I'm telling you, just one person gets saved in a town, and that whole town can come to the Lord. Listen, you need to understand that just one act of kindness can be a seed of the kingdom that begins to grow something. Just one word that you shared with somebody. Just one prayer that you prayed. You see, this is the way the kingdom works. It's just one little thing and it begins to grow and to blossom and bloom until it becomes a great thing. Jesus illustrates it for us twice, but how clear it is, the little tiny mustard seed, and it becomes a big tree big enough for birds to build a nest in. When Jesus walked this earth, his little religious movement was nothing. It didn't compare to the size of the other religions. Now, it certainly was an irritation to the Jews, and it bothered them because he was riling up the people. But I'm talking about globally, it wasn't a big deal. It was just another rabbi come along that had his little following and his little group. The only reason the Roman soldiers put Jesus to death was to appease the Jews. Listen, they couldn't find any fault with him. That's what they said. I find no fault with this man. There's no reason to put this man to death. Why did they do it? It wasn't because they were threatened by him or because he was some great leader leading a mighty group of people. I'm telling you, in the big scheme of things, it was just a little thing that had happened. It's not a little thing now, is it? Right now on this world, there are 2 billion people that profess the name of Jesus. That doesn't mean they're all born again, but there's 2 billion people that call themselves Christian of some kind. But I want you to think about this. Where are the Romans? Now later, when the church really began to grow, they tried to extinguish the church. They tried to get rid of it. They tried to snuff it out, persecute those Christians and get them to deny the Lord, get rid of those Christians because they were becoming a threat to them. But where are those Romans now? Where are the Sadducees and the Pharisees that tried to accuse Jesus? Where are the temples of Corinth? I mean, in Corinth, they had these massive temples and hundreds of thousands of people. They worshiped these false gods. I'm talking about in Paul's day. But where are they now? Listen, who now is sacrificing to Zeus? Nobody. But they're still singing to Jesus. They're still praising Him. They're still giving their lives for Jesus. Isn't it amazing that what began so small, it just keeps growing and just keeps growing. God had 12 men that turned the world upside down. I said 12. You know why I said 12? I know Judas wasn't with him, right? Judas was gone, but I'm counting Paul in that group now. But he used 12 men and turned the world upside down. That's how it all started. But I'm just telling you, God can start with little things, a small beginning, a small thing, and build something great. Think about this. What if we were the only Christians in the whole world? Do you realize that God could do it all over again and build a mighty church of millions and millions and millions of people, billions of people, just from this group right here? And who knows what God can do with this group right here? See, we need to get a hold of that. We need to understand that. I'm just going to illustrate a little bit tonight, at least just 1 minute of this. We are building a building. And man, sometimes the progress seems so slow. And sometimes trying to get this done and that done, it seems like our efforts amount to so little. But I'm telling you that we are not going to despise the day of small things, that it's going to grow and it's going to grow and it's going to grow. Amen. We trust. We believe God. When we trust Him and look to Him, I'm telling you, God is able to bring about great things, great miracles. So don't despise the small things. Listen, you may feel like you had made much progress. Remember, David was called in from taking care of the sheep to be anointed king. Remember that Joseph went from the prison to the palace in a day. Isn't it amazing how that God can turn things around in just a day? Things that seem small and insignificant, all of a sudden, God uses to do something great. See, we don't always see the big picture. We don't always see the end result. But that's why we have to trust God. A few years ago, I read a story about Hurricane Katrina, where when it hit New Orleans, there were people that in one neighborhood, they all swam to the tallest building and got on the rooftop. And as they were sitting on the rooftop of this building, one man said, "Hey, this is a church." And then when he said that, a lady realized that this was the church that her grandfather and grandmother had helped to build. You reckon they ever thought building this church is going to save our granddaughter's life? You see, we just don't always see the things that we do right now how they're going to matter down the road. What a difference it might make to somebody else, whose life it might even save. So much wrong in our world. What can we do? Remember the story of the starfish? Anybody know that story? Okay, five of you. Well, the rest of you, y'all going to hear it. Little boys on the seashore picking up starfish and throwing them back into the ocean. There's literally tens of thousands of them that have washed up on the seashore. And a man comes along and he says, "What are you doing?" He says, "I'm throwing these starfish back in the water so they'll live." And the man says, "What does it matter? There's tens of thousands of them. What good does it do for you to throw one back? What does it matter?" And the little boy says, "It matters to this one." And he throws it back. And I'm just telling you that we might feel like in this world that we can't do any good, that what we do doesn't matter. But I'm telling you, it matters in the kingdom. It matters in eternity. And you can't judge. You can't really fathom what God can do with your little. Well, thank you, Brother Nichols. I need that encouragement. Throw another one back. During World War II, there was a B-17 pilot whose gas tanks got hit, but they didn't explode. And so the next day, they took the tanks open and they got the shells out, and they opened up the shells, and they had no explosives inside of them. Instead, they found a note in one of them that said, "This is all we can do for now." In other words, what had happened is there was somebody in the factory in Germany where they were making the shells that they couldn't stop the war, but they were doing one little thing. They were not putting explosives in some of the shells. It didn't stop the war, but it saved a plane and it saved some lives. And you know, I'm just telling you, there's something you can do. There's little things that you can do that make a difference in this world. And you might not change our whole country, but you might make the difference for somebody. Who knows what your act of kindness can accomplish, what your prayer will bring to pass, and what your service will mean in eternity. 2 pennies. Anybody got 2 pennies? I don't carry pennies. I don't like pennies. I find a place to put them and I get rid of them because I hate carrying pennies. They just jingle and you play with them when you preach. Right, Brother Nichols? You can't have pennies. Two pennies in the offering. Anybody can do more than 2 pennies, right? Here's a story from Luke 21, verse 1 through 4. "And he looked up and he saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury, and he also saw a certain poor widow putting in 2 mites. So he said, 'Truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all.'" How much did she put in? More than all. 2 mites, but Jesus said, "She has put in more than all. For all these out of their abundance have put in offerings for God, but she out of her poverty put in all the livelihood that she had." See, a lot of people like to give their 2 cents, right? But they don't like to give their last 2 cents. And this woman put in her last 2 cents. Jesus said she gave more than all. And I'm just saying to you, here's the spiritual principle. This is the way it works in the kingdom. Her 2 cents was more than all. It was huge in the kingdom. It was huge to God. Jesus says she gave more than all. So don't despise the day of small things. Don't despise what little you have. You know, I think in a way, the wicked, lazy servant who received 1 talent. And by the way, 1 talent was a huge sum of money. But I think in a way he despised it because he stuck it in the ground and did nothing with it. How we need to realize that if God has blessed us, given us anything, that we need to be faithful with that. We need to be willing to do our best. How many can you feed with five loaves and two fish? John chapter 6 says that Jesus fed 5,000 men with a little boy sack lunch. God delivered a nation that had been in bondage for 400 years with a shepherd's staff. He slew a giant with a little bitty stone slung by a teenager. He turned the world upside down with those 12 men. God uses humble men to perform great works for His glory. He also uses His servants to teach little children and to pastor small churches and to witness to one Ethiopian or maybe one drug addict. See, don't discount the little things, the little opportunities that God gives you. 1 Corinthians 1, 26 and 29 says, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many were wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence." Listen, God doesn't need your much. He uses our little. He doesn't need our strength. He uses our weakness. He doesn't choose the noble, but the despised. Why? Because no flesh is going to get the glory. And when God takes just our little and He does something awesome with it, there's no chance that we're going to get the glory. God gets all the glory because we know it had to be God. Most are willing to be humble men doing great things for God. But how many great men are willing to do humble things for God? I'm telling you, the Lord will not trust you with any great responsibility until you are faithful in the small things. This is one that a thought that I have just seen over and over and over again throughout the years, is that so many people want to do great things for God, but they end up doing nothing for God because they weren't willing to do the small things. They wanted to do great things. They were, I'm telling you, absolutely sincere. Want to do great things for God. Want to do this, want to do that. Want to do great things for God. But they weren't willing to do the small things. And they ended up never doing anything for God. All through the Bible, you see God accomplishing great things using individuals, using small groups of people who had little or no power to accomplish those things, but it was God working through them. Are you willing to be faithful in little? Are you willing to work when it looks futile, like you're getting nowhere, like no progress is being made? I won't illustrate with myself. I'll use the youth pastor. Our youth pastor has been with us now for 4.5 years. They are having great success right now, great fruitfulness. It's just blowing and going. It's exciting. And I'm just thrilled. And lives are being changed. Lots of kids coming to the Lord and having great services. It's awesome. But do you know that for at least 3 years, things were just kind of, at least numerically, in a lot of ways, just kind of holding their own, not really seeing a lot of fruit. I know that He was laying a foundation. I know that He was rebuilding. I know that, you see, what I'm trying to get at with this is that many times God is doing a work of preparation so that we're ready for when he pours out the blessings, when the harvest comes, when that breakthrough comes, so that we're ready. But I'm just telling you, a lot of the time, we don't see it while we're working during that day of small beginnings, small things. God uses the tiny seed, the tiny deed. He gives meaning and purpose to our lives when we put what we have and what we are and what we can do in his hands. A lot of times it's not the pastor that causes people to come back to church. Sometimes it's the children's worker who made a little child feel special. And so mom and dad want to come back. Sometimes it's the greeter at the front door or the person who is friendly after service. I'm just telling you, it's the little things a lot of the time that make the difference that we think are unimportant, we discount, or we think we don't matter. And I'm telling you, that's a lie from the devil to get you to stop working, to get you to back off. Oh, we need to realize that if we'll just do what we're supposed to do, if we're doing God's will, if we're doing what we're supposed to do, I'm telling you, God will bless it. We just trust him with it. It's been said, do all the good you can by all the means you can and all the places you can and all the times you can to all the people you can as long as you ever can. Well, there's a scripture for that, isn't there? Do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. And oh, how we just need to keep working. Don't be weary in well-doing, but just keep doing what we're supposed to do. And trust God that he's going to bring that victory. He's going to bring that breakthrough. He's going to bring that blessing. I just want to illustrate one more way to you. You know, if you saw the end result of saving a little bit all along the way, you know, most people would find a way to save. And the reason that people don't is because they think that it doesn't really matter. They save a little bit and they say, well, what does that matter? I just want you to understand that when you keep doing little things for God, you're investing in eternal rewards. You're investing in things down the road. Not all of it's in the hereafter either. I'm just telling you, though, there are rewards down the road when you keep investing just little things. Sometimes it's just that investment you make even with your own kids. You spend time with your kids and you give of yourself selflessly, training your kids in the way they should go. You just keep investing. It's time that you spend with your wife. Time that you spend every day in the Word. You just keep investing. You just keep investing. It's just a little bitty thing. Don't despise those little things, because there's a payoff down the road. We always see the payoff. We say, wow, look at that. We don't see all the investing that went into it ahead of time. Don't despise the little things. Keep doing the little things. Trust God for the big things. Well, stand with me. We're going to dismiss in prayer. Father, I thank you for this word to us. Help us all, Lord, to remember, Lord, to be faithful in the little things. Help us, Lord, to not despise those things, but, Lord, to embrace it, Lord, and to do it with all our heart, as heartily as unto the Lord. And, Lord, may you be glorified in each and every one of us in everything that we say and do. Lord, I pray that you bless your people now. Lord, as we go, I pray that each one of us will feel important in your kingdom, Lord, that we matter. Lord, as we serve, as we do what you called us to do, as we do what you've given us to do today, Lord, that we matter. We're making a difference. And I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, for each of these, my brothers and sisters. Bless them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.